So, what I've got here is the next one down, which is entitled Embedded List 5, and it claims that it passes. Now, and this is kind of interesting. What I'm doing here is I am embedding a list within a list. And we'll get into how to do it with CSS, which is the better way of doing it. But without getting into CSS, this kind of gives you some of the fundamentals. Okay, so I started out and I said I wanted an unordered list. Let me make that a little bigger. My suggestion is that in all of these, you should bring up the thing and look at the code yourself so that you can read it better, because especially if you're sitting in the back row, I don't think you can read what's up here terribly well. So, I've got a UL, meaning I want an unordered list. And then I said I want an LI that says first. And that's fine. Then I said I want an LI that says second. But notice I didn't close the LI. And the reason was I wanted to put something beneath it. Okay? So if I want to put something beneath it, I don't change the LI. Now, this didn't used to be true. It used to be that we closed it and then we continued on. They changed the rules, but the browsers mostly accommodate the old rules as well as the new. Essentially, as I said before, they don't want people getting mad at them. So this is the correct way to do it, but other ways will work. So I didn't close the UL, the LI. And then I said, okay, I want to do another unordered list. So I put another UL. And then I put an LI second sub A. And there it is, second sub A. And then an LI second sub B. And then I said, oh, I want to put something under that. So I didn't close that either. And then I put in the something, which was UL, LI, and below that, close the LI, close the UL. Now I have finished with what I wanted to put underneath. So now I close the LI that went with second sub B. I closed it. Then I continued on and I put second sub C. And then I closed this UL embedded under second, and that meant that I now need to close the LI that went with second. Okay? So I essentially close, if I'm putting something underneath, I close it after I have put the something underneath in and finished it. Okay? Questions. Does that make sense? Yeah.
You tab that to go across so you kind of visually see.
I probably didn't do a tab. I probably did spaces, but you could do a tab. I tend to hit space bars for some reason. I don't quite know why. But you could do a tab. And again, it doesn't have to be like that. It could all be just up against the right-hand margin. But I think it's more readable if I embed it. And, I'm sorry, if I indent it. And I think it's more readable if I put the things on separate lines and line them up. So I do it for readability. Browser doesn't care. People do. So this UL, this further embedded UL, is a closed UL right under it. Okay? The UL out a little ways is a UL with a closed UL under it. And the first UL is closed in the same. So it kind of makes it easier to figure out what goes with what, I think. So I embed for that sake, but not, as I said, as a requirement. And the key thing is that if an LI is going to have more underneath it, I don't close the LI. I wait until I finish the stuff underneath it, and then I close the LI. Okay. Now notice that the default, I didn't tell it anything about what icons I wanted to use. And it went from the filled-in circle to the non-filled-in circle to a square. Okay? That would not necessarily be true in all browsers. If somebody has Chrome up, I think a couple of you have Chrome up, right? Is it, you get the same symbols? Hello, anybody with Chrome? Huh?
You do.
You do? Okay. So you get the same symbols. Explorer, you might not. You can try opening it there and see. But those are the default symbols. Now notice when I did it down below, I did it with an ordered list, and I did exactly the same thing, but I did it with an ordered list. And at least with this browser, it didn't change. It's still 123, 123, etc. So on this one, I did exactly the same thing, but it's an OLs instead of ULs, and it did 123 over and over again. Again, did it do that in Chrome?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as I said, when we get into CSS, we will talk about how I can tell it in CSS what symbols I want to use. And that I would definitely want to do in the ordered list. In the unordered list, it looked fine to me. On the last example, I mixed them up. And so I have an ordered list, and then I put an unordered list inside and another unordered list inside that. And that got me 1, 2, 3. But it's kind of interesting that because I was in, these are embedded, it went to using the circle that isn't filled as opposed to the circle that's filled. Even though I hadn't used the circle that filled. And again, different browsers might handle that differently as far as what icons they use. Questions? I think this is tricky.
Yeah, just
have
to do with practicing.
Yeah, yeah. No, right. I liked it the old way a lot better when they let me close it right there as opposed to wait till all the stuff had come in and then close it.
It looks like a fun tricky, not a painful tricky.
Pardon me?
It looks like a fun tricky, not a painful tricky.
Well, that's good. That's good. Keep that attitude.
It'll make sense when like programs become a lot more difficult. Right now it seems like, annoying. Like, when you have like a bunch of different things going on, it'll make a lot more sense. And it'll be a good habit to get into.
Oh, yeah. No, you should definitely do it the right way. And sometimes, usually, I agree with you and I can see the sense. Every once in a while, I say, like his SP,
yeah,
yeah, I'm not seeing the sense here. Okay, notice that one passed validation, but this one has a validation problem. And that's because I did it in a old way. Okay, so this one, I had did it in the old way that I told you that you could do it in. So on this one, I'm going to put something underneath, but I still closed it over here. And it still ran, it still works, but it would not validate. And so this one is not the way to do it. But one of the things that you will be doing if you go into web development is you will be fixing up other people's pages. So it's important that you also kind of are vaguely understanding of how it used to be done, because you will be fixing up the website. The website was created 5 years ago. Now it's got to be changed. Okay, lots of validation problems. This is another way that we used to do it. And again, I will tell you how to do it in CSS. But in this particular way, I said I want an OL with the type of A. And since I said OL type equals A, Lincoln got an A, Gettysburg Address got a B, President got a C. It used the letters because type equals A told it not to use 1, 2, 3, but to use ABC. This is the old way of doing it. It will not validate, but it is it works on the screen. Down below, I did an entire thing where I said an audit list and I want to have it with Roman numerals. And then embedded under, I want ABC. And embedded under, I want 1, 2, 3. And so it did those. And I got Roman numerals at the outer level, ABC at the inner level, 1, 2 at the next level. And again, we will see how to do that correctly using CSS. But for now, it is, if you were to pick up an old website, you would see it written this way. And then it's your job to change it so that it will validate. And as I said, we've got to get into CSS before we can do that. Okay, definition list. So far, we have looked at two kinds of lists, audit list and unaudit list. Well, there's a third kind of a list. And the third kind of a list is called a definition list. So I have DL, which stands for definition list. And then inside the DL, the DT is the thing I want to define. So I have a DT for XHTML. And then underneath it, I put a DD, and a DD is where I put the definition. So this has the term that I want to define, and the DD has the definition. And so it prints the term outside and indents the definition. So that if I am coming up with a bunch of words and then want the definitions, this would be the kind of list that I would make, because it allows me to define the term, the data term, and then the data definition, data term, data definition, data term, data definition. And it's all done within a definition list. Up at the top here, I have an EM, which is like a bold. It makes things bigger. It makes them stand out, like bold and italics. It stands for emphasis. And actually, it's just showing italics. Some browsers used to show it as both bold and italics, I believe. But I may be remembering wrong. I don't use the EM very much. I use the B and the I if I'm going to use it. Okay, so that's a definition list. And the next one is a block quote. You know how when you're writing a paper, you have to pull in a quote sometimes when you're doing a great big quote? You're supposed to pull it in on both margins and embed it and make it single-spaced inside. Yes? Yes? Okay. That's called a block quote. And that's what I'm doing here. So I set a header without a block quote, and then I put in a block quote. And so that moved it in. Let me change the page a little so it's not going off the screen. So the block quote is on the next line. And what I said I wanted to block quote was a header. So I've got a header inside and the block quote outside, because I'm block quoting a header. And so I moved it in. And then on the next line, I block quoted a paragraph, and that moved it in. And then I put in a paragraph, and that was on the outside. And then I reverse the block quote and the paragraph, and it still worked, but it yelled at me. And I can see the paragraph in red because it didn't want me to do it in that order. It wanted me to do block quote and then paragraph, not paragraph and then block quote. And so it gave me the red that indicated, wait a minute, I don't like what you just did. The block quote goes on the outside. And then if I'm block quoting a header, the header goes on the inside. If I'm block quoting a paragraph, the paragraph goes on the inside. And that's not the way that makes sense to me, but that's the way it works. So that's what we have to do. Okay. We are basically just laying the fundamentals today. This is obsolete. The big is obsolete, at least. This is, again, some embedded style. And the B and the I still work. The big, and I suspect the small, don't. We'll try validating it and see what it says. And then we have sup and sub. So if I want the power of something, I use sub, sup. And if I want to have the number 101, which is in base 2, I put it down there. So that's the sum. So if I want the number to go up above the line, I use sup. And if I want the number to go down below the line, I use sub. Okay? So if you happen to have to write something and you happen to want to do that, just know there is something. Don't expect to memorize it, but go look it up. Do a search for how do I, you know, make the power? How do I write the power of something? And just know that there is a way to do it, and then go look it up. Because if you ask me a month from now, I'm not going to remember it's sup and sub. But I'm going to remember that there's a way to do it. And then I can go and look it up if I remember there's a way to do it. So, we're going to take this address and validate that. And see what it has to say. So I'm putting the address in and I'm validating it. And it didn't like big. But for some reason, it apparently allows small. Whatever. Okay, so everything I had in there except big is okay. But it doesn't want me to use big. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. We won't use big anymore. I can change the font using CSS. And that's the way that I need to do it. Okay, two more in here. One is pre. And I love pre because it is very useful for what I do. If you want to take the way something is written and a piece of code for programming is written with indenting, and I want to preserve the indenting, if I use the word pre, it keeps the format that I had it in. Now, it changes it to a fixed format, so it doesn't have the same format as everything else, which has a variable format. This is a fixed format. But it keeps everything the way that I had it. And so I am very fond of that. Okay. I wanted to use a less than sign at one point, and I used that symbol. But down here, I decided to just use the sign, and you can see they both work. Because it's not a complete tag. So I can get away with the less than and greater than. At one point, there was a couple of browsers that would not support putting out the greater than sign. And so I had to go back to using ampersand LT, ampersand GT, or GR. But this allows both. And then when I'm done with it, I close pre. So pre lets you keep the same formatting. If not, I would have had to have written this and put in a bunch of NBSPs over here. I'd have to put a BR at the end of each line, and it would have been a royal pain in the neck to write. But because I have the pre, I can just take the code, copy and paste it, and put it right inside my thing, and it will come up the way I wrote it. So for my purposes, pre is a wonderful thing. Questions? And then the last one on this list is a division. And a division is another container like a paragraph, except that it doesn't leave a blank line after it. So I can see here I've got some divisions thrown in with some paragraphs. And a division does not leave a blank line after it. So up at the top, I just have a plain division. And then I have another division, and they all go together. And then I have a division that I broke up into paragraphs. And when I break it up into paragraphs, then I get a blank line after each one. Okay? So a division is fine, and it works like a paragraph, but it doesn't give you a blank line. So people use divisions a lot when they don't want a blank line. Questions? Okay, you've been very patient. Okay, we've got through some of the originals. So now what I want to do is take a quick look at XHTML. And basically, I'm going to go down to, let's see. Well, I'll do an audit list. So I'm going to click on that, and then I'm going to view page source. Okay. So first of all, when we did HTML5, we had to tell the browser what we were doing by writing that doc type HTML. When we did XHTML, we had to have those four lines at the top. And there is no way I was ever able to write those four lines. It's a copy and paste if I ever saw it. So I had it in Notepad, and I would copy and paste whenever I wanted to use it. Okay, but that's what I needed to tell the browsers it was XHTML. Now, notice the word strict here. The strict. XHTML understood that a lot of people really didn't want to deal with all the rules. So they had a second option called transitional. And so you could write transitional there, and then it wouldn't be as fussy. If you wrote strict, it was going to be fussy. If you wrote transitional, it wasn't going to be as fussy. Okay? So, and then they had a third one called frame, which we'll get into later on. But they had a third way of doing it called frame. So basically, this looks exactly the same, except that that is different in the top. The other rule is that everything had to have an ending, and I'll go find a BR in a minute. But everything had to have an ending, and everything had to be in a container. And those were the two big transitional rules. Everything had to be in a container, and everything had to end. So, if I come over here and look for one that has paragraph, line breaks and paragraphs. Okay. So, here I have the BR, and it was written as a BR space slash. Because remember on other tags, the slash means it's done. So they said, okay, writing the BR space slash means I'm opening and closing it both at the same time. Some people liked to have the BR followed by the closed BR. And at one point they actually liked that, but I think that stopped the invalid after a while. The BR space slash is the way that it could, was mostly written. And so every tag had to have an open and a close, and every tag had to be in a container. And I had to have those four lines at the top. And then there were a bunch of other little rules too, but those are the rules that I want to kind of mention. Okay? So if I take this and validate this, let's see what it does with that BR thing. Okay, and it said it passed, so it took that. This is the way it used to look. They haven't changed the way the validator looks for XHTML. This is the way it used to look. And it comes back and says the document was successfully checked as XHTML1 strict. And so it worked. So I can go to the same validator, and it figures out whether I have the doc type HTML at the top, which means, okay, I'm validating this as HTML5, or do I have the four lines at the top, which means I'm going to validate this as XHTML. Okay, so it figures that out. Okay.
So do people actually use this on the job?
XHTML?
That validator?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
On the job, yes. If the job is doing web development. Because, you know, I mean, I've had people come back and tell me that when they went for an interview, that was one of the questions that was asked, is do you validate your code? And so basically that means that it is, if it's validated, if it validates, it's not sloppy. You're not doing things, you know. Very frequently when I write a page, I forget to close a paragraph, or I forget to do this, or I forget to do that, and it works just fine. And you're going to see examples of that as we go along. And it works just fine, but it's still sloppy. And if you're writing for clients, then you don't want sloppy. So, yes, they want you to validate. Or a lot of them do. Okay, if we go back to my homepage for this course, okay, I have a guide for the basic example HTML, and that's the basic HTML example. And I put the validator address in there. And we'll get into how to do that addressing later. We're not doing that today. But AH reference is how I can put in an address that I want to validate. I simply say AH reference equals, and I put the address that I want to go to in quotes. And it will go to that address, which in this case is the validator. So this one has the doc HTML and the meta character set that we looked at. And if we go down to the other one, this is code for a basic XHTML, and this has the four lines in it, and it does not have the meta because the information about that is included in the four lines. So, basically, these are the ways that you can do it. Now, the homework assignment that I'm asking you to do is I want you to write it in both HTML5 and then go back and write it in XHTML just so you experiment. And we'll usually do just HTML5, but I want you to at least have written a little something in XHTML. So I'm saying write a page, write the page in HTML5, and then write it in XHTML. Your web page should include the following. So I want an H1 header. I want an H2 through H6, any of those. I want a break. I want a block quote, a paragraph, a division. Italics and bold. Do not use CSS if you know how. I want an ordered list, an unordered list, a definition list. And I want a list embedded in another, and I want a pre. So I want you to use the things that we went over on the page. I could care less what the page has to say. Okay? You know, you can do a diary of your day, you can write a letter to somebody, you can do anything you want to. I don't care what the page says. I just care that you try all those things. Okay? Notice at the bottom it says extra credit if you can get your pages to validate. Okay, so it's not a requirement, but it's extra credit if you can get them to validate. And so I would do that. Okay, so you're going to write your page. You're then going to send it to me as an HTML attachment. So you're going to send it to my p.grosser@rcn.com. And you're going to send the two pages as an HTML. I'll run them and I'll validate them so that I know that they're working. Okay? Okay. I also put some search engine stuff up there that if you're not comfortable with searching, you should take a look at. What I'm going to do, and I just about made it, is I wanted to give you the last half hour to actually work on this, to try starting to write the homework, to ask any questions you have about writing the page. So write the first part of the homework, get it saved, bring it up on the website, get it working, and that sort of thing. So you've got a half an hour to start working on the homework and ask questions. Okay, because I think that's about when we get out, around quarter to, right?
1:40.
1:40? Okay, 1:40 or 1:40?